Welcome to our Friday night podcast. God bless you for being here with us at the City on the Hill Studios. I'm so glad to be here with you. Let me first of all speak the obvious with you. The last time I was on here, I mentioned that the next podcast we had was going to be about raising kids, raising a family, remnant style. However, we didn't realize that one of the key components to this podcast was going to still be in the middle of finals for getting her her degree in finance. They said, we'll do it if you want us to, but it would probably be a lot better if we had another week to prepare. And so we had mercy on them and said, absolutely, we'll give you another week to let school get over with. And so here we are. So we're here back at the table together again this evening. I'm glad to be here with you. I want to tell you, if you've been keeping up with what God is doing here, it's amazing what God is doing. There's an old song that talks about, he's done so much for me, I could not tell it all. It's hard to even get into everything God is doing in this place. I'm so grateful to the Lord, and I'm so excited. But I'm excited about this podcast tonight, yes. About answering some more questions that people have about how we do things. And as always, I like to give this little bit of a upfront message. You know, I know we don't sit for the last couple of days going over these questions, coming up with answers. We allow the Holy Spirit to give us answers as we're doing it. So we don't, as I said, we don't study these questions ahead of time. We want our answers to be fresh from the Lord,
right?
And so I hope you receive it as such. Again, I've got Benji over here. I've got my beautiful wife Julie over here, and most importantly, just before the cameras came on, we invited the Holy Spirit just to fill and take over this room, and I prayed that the Spirit of the Living God comes through those cameras and fills the room that you're sitting in as well. And if the Spirit of the Lord is here and the Spirit of the Lord is there, then we can expect that all things are going to be possible, even through this podcast. Praise God for that. So I want us to get started with the questioning. Before I forget, I'll probably say it again at the very end, but May 19th is our Pentecost service, and we're going to be having a special service outside. We've got a lot of special things planned for this day, but most importantly, what we've been saying is we want to get closer to the Lord so that we just don't feel the presence. We want to see the presence of the Lord at work in our lives.
Yes.
And there's a total difference between saying, oh, I can feel God is there, and then in seeing it with your eyes. That's what we want to happen. And I invite you on Sunday, May 19th, to come be a part of this special service with us here at the City on the Hill. You can find out more about that online. All right, Julie, hit us with question number one.
All right. What is the point of going the extra mile to do extraordinary things if everything I'm doing is purposeful and staying away from sinful things?
Okay.
Lots to be covered in this one.
Lots to be covered. I've only preached 1,000 messages about that I have to get in 30 seconds. Thanks.
Just encapsulate.
Well, here's the... It really goes back to a lot that I've already talked about here on the podcast. We know that salvation is a free gift. You cannot earn it. There is nothing you can do to show yourself to God to say, God, you know, save me. I'm doing something extraordinary. Salvation was a free gift. It wasn't free, but it was a free gift that was won through the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross for all of mankind that is willing to receive it. And so when we talk about doing extraordinary things, we're not talking about salvation. I just want that to be completely understood.
Right.
Salvation is righteousness. Doing extraordinary things, though, goes back to the holiness principle. And as I've said in podcasts gone by, holiness, we are holy because that pleases God.
Yes.
God literally said, it is both, for those people that this matters to, it is both Old Testament and New Testament. It says, be holy, for I am holy. That is the ultimate statement from God in how to please him. Be holy, for I am holy. And you cannot be holy without doing extraordinary things for God, without taking extraordinary steps. And when I say extraordinary, I mean it in the purest form of the word. The word extraordinary is the words extraordinary. It means you have to go out of what is ordinary, and you have to say, all right, God, I am going to be extraordinary. I know one of the common things that people say today is, they say, man, you're so extra, you know. But when you're talking about holiness, being extra pleases God. It pleases him. God, the word of God says, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking. Say, oh, God's not looking for anything. Once you're saved, God, no, but that's the thing. God is looking. If he was looking in the Old Testament, he's looking now in our time. He is looking for those whose hearts are loyal to him. What is loyalty? You have to show loyalty. You show loyalty by being extraordinary. You know, I hate to do this, but it makes such a good point. If I want to show my love for my wife, I might do something extraordinary. I might do things, maybe chores that she has. I'll do them just to say, honey, I love you. I might buy her a piece of jewelry that says, honey, you know, I'm doing this extraordinary step because I want to show you that I'm doing this for you. Now, we're not going to buy jewelry for God. We're not going to wash dishes for God, although someone might wash dishes at the church for Lord, I don't know. But the idea is, in your covenant relationship with God, you do extraordinary things. That is what pleases God. And if you want to know, how to draw nigh unto the Lord, you don't do it by doing acts of righteousness. You do it by doing acts of extraordinary things toward holiness. You go throughout the word of God. God looked for and chose people that were willing to go the extra mile for him.
Like the Nazarites.
That's a great example. Mm-hmm. The Nazarite vow was a vow that was made that said, we're not going to do this, we're not going to cut our hair, we're not going to drink strong drink. These are things that we're going to do to show God that we're separating ourselves so that he can bless us, that we're separating ourselves so that he can trust us with his power. Not salvation, but that he can trust us with his power to do the supernatural. We're all about the supernatural here at the City on the Hill. The remnant is going to be a supernatural people. They're not going to be a saved people. They're going to be a supernatural people. And you're supernatural by doing extraordinary things for God. And let me just add, doing them under the anointed authority and leadership of God. That's just how God works. People can argue all they want, but you can't change the word of God. You have to do extraordinary things for God. Benji, you got anything you want to add about that?
I was hoping that maybe we can get into some of the specifics of extraordinary things, like the extraordinary things that some people do.
Well, let's talk about our family.
Yeah, may not all be the same, but I want to talk about some of the things that we do. Like, one of the personal things that really resonates with me is that I stay away from any form of a curse word.
Right.
That's a big one.
You know, I've said recently in church, everything we do is to please God. So we're going to walk around saying curse words. You think that pleases God? You think it pleases God to have foul language in our mouths? You know, another thing that's a big one in the church today, I can hear people clicking it off even as I say it, but we don't drink. And I tell people, listen, you want to please God? I'm not going to get into an argument with people about, well, you know, they had this kind of wine and they had this. I'm not going to get into an argument with people about that. If drinking is more important to people than showing God something, then they're not going to be happy at this place. I'll tell people that. We don't drink because we're taking the extraordinary step to say, God, we want to do things that please you. And in your word, you told certain people, you said, I don't want you drinking this. And instead of going in the direction of, well, I'm mature, I can drink. Let's do it the other way and say, no, I'm mature, so I'm going to do even more to show I'm going to please God.
Right.
I'm going to do even more to show him.
The examples in the Bible.
People can hate it. They can dislike it. But again, the example is in the Word of God. And that's something our family does to say, God, we're not going to do this. And there's other things that people here at the City on the Hill know that I personally do, me and my wife, we do, our family does. And there's things that we do to say, God, our purpose is to be extraordinary for you, to please you, to show you that we're going to take those extra steps. And people and Christians have got to understand that God is looking. We've got this idea in the church world that you're saved, and then God says, okay, you're saved. I'm not looking at you anymore. And it's the opposite of that. When you're saved, God is looking at you even more. Right. He's looking at you and he's saying, okay, you're saved. You've come through the door. Now what are you going to do? Now what are you going to do for me? Now how are you going to show me that you're pleasing me? Now what's going to happen?
Faith without works
is dead. Mm-hmm. It's dead. And again, people go there. I hate to even get into this because I really need to read it, but I ministered on it recently. So people go look it up and watch it. When you go and read that, they think that he's talking about giving food to the hungry
and coats
and taking care of the needy. That's not what he's talking about. If you're reading that and you think that's what he's saying, then you're not understanding. And I don't have time to preach that message right now. But he's talking about doing supernatural, extraordinary things for God. That's what he's actually talking about.
Right.
Go look up the message. I preached in probably a couple of months ago. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to take this same topic into one more direction before we move on to the next question. You know, we talk all the time about how God wants his people blessed and healthy and a lot of things along those lines. One of the extraordinary things that we like to do is make sure that our words and what we allow ourselves to watch, say, on TV, reflect on that as
Amen.
Well. I don't want to talk about things of sickness. I don't want to talk about things of any form of depression or sadness. And I want to keep my eyes off of anything that could surround me in the world or on television.
Amen.
I just want to keep myself away from that so I can stay in the positive mindset of what God wants for us.
Amen. And let me really bring this to an end by saying this. The excuse that people say is they say, well, we're not supposed to be bound by the law. And that sounds very lawful to me. But let me just say two things. One that I've said maybe during our last podcast, and then a second one. Number one, let me remind people that just because the law of Moses has been fulfilled, God still has a heavenly law. Mm-hmm. He is still the lawgiver. He is still the God of justice. You mm-hmm. can't change that. We don't live by the law of righteousness anymore, but we do live by the law of holiness. Mm-hmm. So let's just, again, I don't have time to really delve into that a lot, but it's clear in the Word of God. But the second thing I want to say is this, even involving the law as it is, as we read it in, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, even the law involving that, God wouldn't say something that didn't please, did not make him happy.
Mm-hmm.
He said things that maybe we clearly do not live by the letter of the law, through the letter of the law in those things. But God wouldn't say something that was not pleasing to him. And so even in those things, you can many times find something to say, you know what? I don't have to do this, but I'm going to do it to please God. Mm-hmm. Principles, not even specific things necessarily, but I'm going to do it to please God. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Our people, you know, you all know that we come from, you saw our podcast on our heritage, on our Armenian heritage, on our heritage of going back to the Molokans. That's who we are. That is still how we worship and how we do things. And our people going way back, they made a decision that they were, and I won't get into the reasons why or any of that, but they made a decision that they were not going to eat pork or shrimp or things of that nature, that they were going to follow much, if not all, of the dietary laws found in the Word of God. Now, people here at the City on the Hill will tell you, I don't get up and tell people don't eat pork and shrimp. You know, we got a lot of people get up and have their bacon every morning. You know, a lot of people that say, Pastor, I love my shrimp, you know, so much. And God bless them for their that got a laugh out of our producer over there. He liked that one. But they like their shrimp and their pork. But, you know, they know that our family, that we don't eat those things. Why? Not because we're under a law, but because we have made the extraordinary decision to say, God, every time we pass up pork, every time we pass up shrimp or lobster, Lord, let it be known that we want to please you. Mm-hmm. Let it be known that we want to please you. Let that be just a little something, Lord, that we're showing you, God. We want to be extraordinary. We know that you're watching, and we want to please you. And so, again, when I get up and I talk about being supernatural, you can't be supernatural unless you're first willing to be extraordinary in the natural. You have to say, God, I'm going to do these extraordinary things in the natural to show you that I'm trustworthy to be separated in the supernatural. So I hope everybody can get something out of what I just said. Whether you're a part of the City on the Hill, if you're a part of this place, I hope you're listening. I hope you're listening because God is calling us to be even more different. And a part of that is doing extraordinary things for God. If you're not a part of this place, I hope God is touching your heart right now.
Can I say one last little piece about that? We hear all the time Christians that say, I want to have a personal relationship with the Lord. My relationship with the Lord is of the utmost importance. I just want to have a personal relationship with God. What is more personal in a relationship than doing what you can do to show your devotion?
Amen.
That's just, to me, that's just a simple, simple thing. Words will only go so far. Thoughts will only go so far. Man, I feel devoted to you, God. I just want to tell you and tell you how devoted I am. But in a personal relationship, nothing really shows your devotion more than doing things, actions.
If you want to have a relationship with God, the best way is to do it God's way, not your way. Well, God's way is above all.
Again, it's a real relationship we have with God. It's a real covenant relationship.
Can't get away from that.
You know, I of course, we got a couple of books here, but the first book that I wrote years ago was about the blood covenant. And
that's a form of a
write a sin, we'll send you one, because the whole purpose of me writing that book was to help people understand how you start your relationship with God. It's a covenant. It's a blood covenant. It's not just a covenant. It's a blood covenant. And there are certain things involved with what a blood covenant means. And at its very basic core, the idea behind a blood covenant is, I'm going to give you the right to everything in my life, and God, you're giving me the right to everything. And you can't do that or live like that if you're not willing to do extraordinary things for God. You can't. And so I guess we need to bring this question to an end, but maybe we'll get into it another time.
Send us questions about it.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
All right, let's get into the next one. We've heard you say churches are not here to give things to people. What do you mean by this?
Oh, wow.
I love this one.
Okay, well, I'm just going to start with the first things that come to my mind, and hopefully we'll weave our way to some sort of a understanding with this. But let me just kind of go back. Over the years, we have seen signs on churches around here, things posted on Facebook. We've heard people talking about, well, you know, listen, I'm just going to take it to its very most basic, lowest common denominator and work our way up from there. We've literally seen signs of come to church this Sunday and be put into a drawing for a 70-inch TV. Come to church this Sunday and get your free meal for your family. We were at a Chick-fil-A, I guess it's okay to say. We were at a Chick-fil-A, and there was a church there giving $5 to every person in the drive-through for their meal. So, you know, this is just the most basic thing. And I all of a sudden realized how the devil works is that he is getting people accustomed to the idea of going to a church with your hands out like this. This here, what can you give to me? What can you? And that's not what the purpose of the church is. The purpose of the church is to get people to the standard of Jesus and being supernatural.
Yes.
That's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church sometimes is discipline. Sometimes is to bring a hard word in love to people. Many times that's what the know, it is to help people grow. It is to minister healing under the anointing. It is for a prophet of God to stand up and do what people, because he's anointed to do it, what people cannot do for themselves, or to help them get to that place. That is what the church is for. The church is not to be a place of what can you give to me? What can you do for me? But because the devil has so slyly, and I gave you just very obvious examples, there's many more less obvious examples. Sometimes maybe it's childcare. Hey, we're going to the church because they really take care of my kids and get them off my hands. Maybe it's more that type of thing.
The big events that they host sometimes.
Absolutely. And so the devil over the last couple of decades, and maybe even further back than that, has so slyly turned the church world upside down. And so now people expect or even look for a church with I hear this all the time. We're looking for the church that gives us the most. They don't necessarily use the word gives us the most, but that's the idea behind their thought process. And he so turned it around that now when people do not receive benefits from what they expect from a church, they get critical. And not only do they get critical, they spread that criticism. And not only do they spread that criticism, they're actually... Listen, you can stick your head in the sand all you want to stick your head in the sand. It doesn't change the fact that by any metric that is out there, the church is losing people by the millions. By the millions, they're losing people. And a lot of it has to do with they got accustomed to getting something. And the whole thing of getting something is once you get something, the next time you have to get more. And then the next time you have to get more. That's the way it works. And when that all ends, and eventually it, you know, it's kind of like a Ponzi scheme. Ponzi schemes eventually all find their end because there's only so much to give.
Right.
And they end up in destruction. That's what's happening to the church. The church has basically turned into a Ponzi scheme and has been turned upside down by the devil. And now people by the millions are leaving the church because it's almost sickening. You hear people all the time say, well, can't the church just do more for me? Can't the church just help me more? Can't the church? No, the church is there for the supernatural.
But wait a second. What about being the hands and feet of Jesus?
Well, let me tell you.
I've heard that so many times. Oh, I love this church because this church is being the hands and feet of Jesus. Can you tell what the hands and feet of Jesus really are about?
Well, let me just say, first of all, that's really not biblical. let me just say that. That's not...
I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself.
That is not biblical. Let me kind of take a step back and say this, because again, I minister it all the time, but there might be people listening that have not heard it. When you're talking about giving to the poor and those types of, let's take it, let's not even talk about TVs and things. Let's talk about just giving to, those are good things.
Yes.
Those are good
We're
things.
We're supposed to do that.
That is a good thing to do. But you know, even those things, they're not supernatural.
Right.
And Jesus himself said, the poor you have with you always. The poor you have, you can always go and
We're
help them.
We're supposed to be doing that
You
every
can
day.
Always go do that if you want to. He said, but what she did for me, the woman who poured the oil onto, he said, what she did it for me. And that really goes back to our first question.
I was about to say the same thing.
She did something extraordinary.
Yes.
She took something, and all the people are like, well, she could have used that and fed how many poor people? She could have fed 1,000 poor people. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. She did something extraordinary for me. You see, that's what the church is about. That's what the remnant is about.
Yes.
Everyone should be willing to help people. Everyone.
Yes.
But that's not what the church is for. That's not. Listen. Paul talked. He talked about, because he was trying. He was trying to get the church just to move past its infancy. He did talk about helping the widows and helping. He did say, but that was never meant to be a theological principle in God. He was saying,
right.
Hey, you need to help these people. Help them if you can help them. Help
yes,
them.
Yes.
But the principle in the Word of God is, if you want to be supernatural, you got to do extraordinary. Yes, do those good things.
Those are the elementary things.
But you have to move to the supernatural. And so the church has focused on the elementary things. Mm-hmm. And the book of Hebrews...
move forward.
It says at some point you have to move past the elementary things. It says you have to get past things of salvation, things of baptisms. You have to get past... If you took baptism and salvation and feeding the poor and that type of stuff out of the church... 99.99% of ministers have nothing to talk about because they don't understand. It's about the supernatural. Mm-hmm. It's about the supernatural.
Defeating the works of darkness.
The best thing I can do if I love somebody, you know, it's the old saying, if you give someone a fish, you feed them for a day.
Mm-hmm.
If you teach someone to fish, you feed them for life. I could go to somebody and say, hey, here's a loaf of bread. All right, come and pat me on the back. Great, I did a good thing. But if I come and I minister supernatural healing to somebody, I've changed their spirit, man.
Yes, yes.
And made them into someone that can become great for God, where God can bless them and prosper them, and so that they never have to want again. And so again, the church is not for handouts. It's not for giving away things. Again, I think I said this on a recent podcast. I've heard so many people say, well, we're taking the time to figure out, you know, which church fits our family the most. And that's the most, you know, it's not ridiculous. It's redonkulous. It is past ridiculous. It is crazy.
Absurd.
To even think like that. No, people need to be looking to where the prophetic anointing is at. That's where they need to be looking. Where is the prophetic anointing? That's what our people, as you've heard me say before, they asked them, they said, well, why are your people so blessed of the Lord? And they said, well, it's because we listen to our prophets. That was it. That was it. End of story. They listened to their prophets. And I encourage our people to take that to heart. If you're watching, I ask you, why don't you come see a place that's working and living this out? That's living this out. So look into my eyes and see the earnestness that's in there, that God wants. He wants everything to be blessed in your life, but he's looking for people that are willing to be extraordinary and be supernatural. Come walk it out with us. Praise the Lord. I hope we answered both questions. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me. Is it okay if I bring up a question?
Yes.
Just before,
please.
Because I don't know. Nat, what's our time like over there? Well, this is a small one, so I don't know if we. This is a small, but I get asked. You know, people wonder all the time, and we've talked about this. This isn't so much about the kind of things. This is really more specific to what we do here. But people say, they say, why? I've watched you online. I've been maybe to a service. Why do you walk your offerings up to the front? And I want to explain to people that why do we not pass a bag around? Let me explain why we walk our offerings up to the front. We do it because that's a part of our worship. Mm-hmm. It is a part of our worship, and we want to show the Lord that we're not embarrassed about what we're doing. We're not hesitant about what we're doing, but we want to come and to our altar. There's nothing iconic about our altar, but it is where the presence of the Lord is at. And we want people to come to our altar and to bring their offerings and say, Lord, as an act of worship, as an act of surrender, as an act of me saying everything that I have is yours, I'm coming and I'm laying this down at your altar, Lord, to give it to you, to show you, Lord, that I'm not going to just sit back and just blithely give this or that. Lord, I'm coming as an act of surrender, an act of worship, in the same way that the woman came and she got down and she wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair. Lord, I'm not going to just stand in the back of the room. I'm coming to surrender my all to you and to worship you with how I'm giving. Praise the Lord.
And to go along with that, I believe that we here at the City on a Hill believe that God's people should consider it a privilege to give to God. We said it's an act of worship, yes, but not just as an act of giving. We need to consider it of the utmost importance that when we give to God, we say we get to give, we get to lay down before the Most High God, and it is an absolute privilege to be able to do that.
And I'm glad, you know, we had time to get into this because I like people watch us online, and they have questions about how we do things, how we worship, how we minister. You know, I grew up hearing from my father and from my grandparents and from all the people that were a part of the old Armenian Pentecostal ministry and going back, you know, 170 years. But I grew up hearing about how they would come and lay their offering down at the feet of the elders, how they would come and lay it down. And when they did it, they knew that God was watching, and they knew that God was listening, and they knew that God was going to honor and bless them because of how they were worshiping and surrendering to the Lord. And people today, they don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear the idea of God expect something from us, that God wants something from us. But again, you can't take it out of the Word of God. You just can't. You can pick words here and there and try to come up with your theology, or you can take the entirety of the Word of God and understand this is how God does things. And if God finds people that are willing to come and surrender all at His altar, then and where His anointing is at, then they'll understand that everything that God did for this heritage, for this group of Armenian people, God will do for them as well. He literally rescued from genocide in the most supernatural of ways and then prospered them in a nation where they couldn't even speak the language, but blessed them and made them supernatural because of how they did things. A part of that was how they knew how to come and worshipfully give their offerings to the Lord. So I just wanted to share that today because people see how we give and they wonder why we do that. And I tell people, listen, we have a lot of people that give online. I think that is just fantastic that we're able to offer that. But I also say to them, when you can, just write down what you gave online and come and put it in the offering and do just to show the Lord. There's just something about walking forward before the Lord and showing Him your heart.
So you're not just giving mindlessly.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. Natter, do we have time for one more? If we hit our mark, okay. Give us one more question, Julie.
Okay. The Bible says, exercise yourself to godliness and strive to enter the narrow gate. And you have said that City on a Hill is a gym for remnant Christians. So,
well, when I said give me one more, what I meant was give me one easy one.
Okay. Just a few sentences.
Good gracious. You know, you expect me to give a month worth of talking into a minute. Okay. As she said, the Bible literally says to exercise yourself toward godliness. Now, I forgive me. I already forgot your question, but did you say something about what I say about this is a gym?
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah,
you said that. So that wasn't just in my mind. Okay. Well, I always get up and say, this is a gym. This is where you work. You work out your godliness. You know, the Bible says, this really ties in well with what we were just talking about. The Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Not without righteousness, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I don't have time to get into that. And again, people don't like to hear that, so they click it off. But you can click me off, but it doesn't change the Word of God. The Word of God says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And we consider, you know, holiness and godliness work hand in hand. And if you want to build your muscles, your godly muscles, so that you can produce, well, that's the key word, produce holiness, you have to be somewhere where you can build those godly muscles. Mm-hmm. You say, what do you mean by producing holiness? Well, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I don't remember if it was in here or in the service, I talked about the Bible mentions the beauty of holiness. Mm-hmm. That's holiness you can see. You're producing holiness that can be seen. If you want to be able to produce holiness, you got to build your godly muscles. You have to be under the anointing where you can build your godly. It's not easy. Faith is hard. When you go to the gym and you start working out, you know, you start working out with those little 5-pound weights and you're like, I can do this. Then you graduate to the 10, 15, you know, eventually you get to the 40 or 50 pound weights. You're like, did I say I could do this? It gets hard. Faith is hard. The further you go in faith, it gets harder. It doesn't get easier. It gets harder because the climb gets steeper. The climb gets steeper. The narrow gate gets smaller. It gets smaller, but that's how God weeds out. That's how God weeds out those people he can trust and he can't. That's how God weeds out the wise versions from the foolish versions. People, oh, God would never do that. Tell the Word of God that he wouldn't do it.
Many are called, but few are chosen.
Tell the Word of God that he calls them all, but only a few are chosen. And the ones that are chosen are those that go to the gym of godliness and they work out those muscles. They work it out. And again, I wish I had my Bible open here to read it. But because I never know what we're getting into, I don't have anything prepared.
That's the best part.
But the Bible, but it actually says in those scriptures, it talks about working yourself out toward godliness, and the actual translation of it, it means to be naked. Because back in those times, the Greeks, when they did athletic things, they, if I'm not mistaken, they did them in the nude. And so people said, well, does that mean we're supposed to be naked when we're... No, the idea of it is that when you're working yourself toward godliness, you have to put everything else aside. Mm. Nothing else matters. Everything else has to be stripped off. All your cares, your desires, your wants, your fears, your circumstances, everything. Everything. You say, well, but I care about this person. And I care. Well, yes, you got to lay all that down. You got to trust God. You got to lay everything down and say, God, I'm only focused on working out my godliness muscles so I can produce holiness. Mm-hmm. Listen, there's many times we get out of a service here, and I'll sit in the car, and I'll be like, whew, that was a workout. But that's because that's what we're called to do. This is a gym for building godliness muscles. And I'm going to say this again. It kind of ties in with everything else. You want to be a supernatural person? You want to not just hope for a little miracle thing here or there. You want to get up every morning and know that you're seeing and going to see the supernatural power of God in your life, and sickness, death, darkness, depression, poverty, whatever else you want to throw in there has no power over your life, and you can guarantee it. You said, what do you mean guarantee? Oh, guarantee that these things cannot touch your life. It starts with saying, under the power and anointing of God, I'm going to begin to work out my muscles toward godliness. Mm. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know. Do you have anything else real quick? I'm getting the sign over here that it's time.
Nope. I think.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
Give a good talk today.
Benji, give us everything else that's coming up.
All right. Got a regular in-person services here at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville, Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m. You can also watch those services online. Our online platforms that you can catch all our stuff in include Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and X, where every day we got something going on. If we don't have a service going on, we've got a Remnant Devotion coming on at 8 p.m., a Remnant 101 on Tuesday at 8 p.m. These podcasts come out every Friday at 8 p.m. You can also listen to the podcast on Spotify, wherever else you get podcasts. Tell Siri or Alexa to play the Calling the Remnant podcast. We made it really easy for you to listen to these podcasts and really get a good grip on the Word of God from where you are. But I do want to encourage you to, if you're able to, come here in person to really experience the living power of God. And it's going to be here very mightily on Pentecost, May 19th.
May 19th. I invite you to come see what God is doing. As I've said, we got a lot of things planned. We always talk about being different. You're going to see how different we really are on Pentecost. But that's because we want to show God. We don't just talk about it. We're going to do it. We're going to show God. And we're going to work out our godliness muscles. And we're going to produce holiness. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let us know that you've received the Word of God. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. We'll talk to you next time. We'll see you then.